This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 452 of Shutters Inc.
It's good to be here.
Thank you, mate. That there is Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, and I am Bruce Williams from shuttersincpodcast.com.
It's good that you're introducing us at the beginning now, because I said that a couple of weeks ago it was going to be a good idea, didn't I?
Yes, I try and take your ideas on board, mate.
And like, you mentioned the websites and stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. That was a great idea, mate.
It'd only be good for business.
That's right.
I'm not sure why you didn't think of it earlier, frankly.
Exactly.
Still, you know, we got there 452 episodes later. That's finally got there.
That's it.
Good on you, dude. Yeah. If anyone else has some good ideas, like, I don't know, like background music as an example. Maybe you throw them out there, you know, just saying.
So how's your fortnight been?
It's been 2 weeks.
It has.
It's been a full 2 weeks, that fortnight.
Has it?
Yeah. Well, one and a half weeks.
It's been full of dad jokes.
Well, it's been full of school holidays.
Right.
That's the time for dad jokes is the school holidays.
Yeah.
And once again, I have to give great thanks to the lovely people at Tamron Australia who bought me the book, Crap Dad Jokes.
Oh, that's right.
It came in very handy, which is much appreciated. So it's good. No, it's been good. I've been doing some shoots.
Yeah.
I kind of Tamron USA. Did I mention? Have we talked about this? No, I couldn't have.
You mentioned that there was something in the works you couldn't talk about.
No.
That's different.
Ixnay on the Tamron side. No, Tamron USA reached out last week. It would have been like Wednesday night or something. Said, "Do you happen to have any vertical photographs taken with the Tamron 35mm 1.4?"
Right.
And I've gone, "Not really. Nothing specific." And I said, "Why?" I said, "Well, we've got the big Photo Plus show in New York this weekend, and we need some vertical shots, and we haven't got any." So I said, "Oh, I can shoot some for you." And they said, "Could you have them by like tomorrow afternoon?" It's like 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, I'm sure I could do that. No problem at all, you know. And so,
plan ahead.
Oh God! And so the only because they had to get it printed. Of course, it's like Wednesday. And so the show was on Saturday or whatever it was, Friday.
Probably 20-foot banners or something.
Yeah, they are. They're huge things. And so it's like, I had no plan. I had like an hour window of opportunity to shoot.
Right.
Yeah. The only subjects I had to hand were the kids.
Yeah.
And so I have to shoot the 35mm focal length, which is my least favorite focal length in the world.
Of all time, yeah.
Of all focal lengths I have to shoot, the one I like least, and I've got to shoot it vertically.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't do a lot of verticals, I have to say. You know?
Yeah.
So it was somewhat challenging and somewhat stressful, and I ended up going under one of our bridges and doing some off-camera flash shots. And
yeah.
And I wasn't overly happy with the photos, but, you know, they get what they paid for. Nothing! they got what they paid for and no more than that, frankly. So I managed to produce like two or three images that were usable.
Right.
But the stress. So I shouldn't be stressing like that in the school holiday. But it's hard when you're forced. Yeah, you haven't been thinking shooting for a while because you've school holidays. So your brain's not in that space, and then you've got 1 hour to do it all. But here's where the Narbox came in really handy, though.
Okay.
New Narbox. I'm on location under the bridge, and I'm time poor. I've got a 1 hour shoot to shoot and deliver. Yeah,
yeah, right.
So I'm on location. I've shot the photos, SD card straight into the Narbox.
Yep.
Onto my phone, quick edit on my phone, email straight from my phone straight to the client.
Nice.
Yeah, while still 10 feet away from where I just took the last photograph.
Yeah,
and
right.
The photos have gone within 5 minutes. They had them. Yeah, it's just brilliant. You know.
Yeah.
And because I'm a photographer, not a Photoshopper, so the photos were pretty much 95% done in camera.
Yep.
Especially being off camera flash, because I can control the lighting better, of course.
Yeah.
So that was one shoot I did. That was kind of a bit of fun. I did a natural light portrait workshop on Saturday.
Yeah, loved your model. She was great.
Pardon? Wait, let's take one step further back first. Praise me first.
Great shots, mate.
Thanks, dude. Model was pretty good.
Yeah, she was. Great hair.
Yeah, really, really. Well, it helps her. Yeah, she had really bright, vibrant, dyed red hair.
Yeah.
And a look that could pull it off.
Yeah.
And But yeah, so we had a fabulous workshop. But it was run out of the Tamron headquarters here in Victoria,
right?
Out of their factory, out of their warehouse.
Cool.
The factory. So they've got a boardroom there. So I'm popping in there. Half the shots were done. So we're indoors, on the second floor, with no windows, but there's a big glass plate window looking out over the warehouse floor.
Okay.
In the roof of the warehouse are these little slat skylights, just probably 3 foot wide by the whole warehouse length.
Oh, okay.
And they were shining some light through that window.
Yeah, nice.
And what that light was, because it was being diffused through the soft panel.
Super diffused, I'll bet.
Yeah, super diffused. And it was angled perfectly through this window onto this beautiful mottled grey wall. that's like a mottled cement wall. So it was just hitting that perfectly. Sat him in a chair in front of that. First I'd done with my iPhone, of course.
Yeah.
But it was just epic. The colour palette just worked fantastically.
Nice.
Yeah, with her bright red hair against that sort of, and the photos, because of the color balance, the photos were coming out a little greeny gray in the background, so it was really kind of a lovely
worked
color.
Really well, yeah,
really nicely, yeah. So I've walked up, taken one photo, turned around, showing the clients, and they're like, "She," it's like, "That's all you gotta do, people." Yeah, put a good looking person in good light and with a good background and press the button,
everything works. Yeah,
and here was the thing, it was an all overcast day.
Right.
Which is my least favourite days for workshops.
Yeah.
Natural light workshops are on blazing sun. It was blazing sun when I drove there.
Yeah, right.
As I was doing my presentation, it was getting darker.
Oh,
and
no.
Darker. And, but we probably didn't walk more than 300 feet from the front door of the warehouse. But the entire workshop did, I don't know, 6 or 7 setups.
Yeah, nice.
All completely. We did high key, we did low key, we did full frontal lighting, we did the narrow and broad light. We did so much stuff in such a short period of time, and everything was epic. Everything worked. Yeah, it was one of those days where it all just worked.
Fell into place.
Every shot, perfect.
Nice. Yeah,
every shot just looked great, you know. And this is like, so I'm using her again.
Yeah, totally.
Enough, yeah. But that was by sheer chance, like a couple of days earlier. One of the guys who works at Tamron said, "Look, a friend of mine's wife does a bit of modelling. Do you reckon there's a chance you could use her?" So I said, "Well, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I'll do. I'm nice to them. Yeah, they'll keep being nice to me."
Yeah.
So I wasn't expecting much, and I got a hell of a lot.
Nice.
She made my job very easy. So that was really good. So there were two shoots for the last week. So I've been a little bit creative.
Cool.
Which is good. But more importantly, especially with the natural light, I actually enjoyed the photos. Yeah, I enjoyed the workshop a lot. Because, as I say, at most workshops, we're not here to take pretty photos.
Right.
Yeah, we're here to learn skills that you can transplant and use elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know? If we happen to take a good photograph, that's a bonus, but it's not our goal, you know. So, because you can't, especially with natural light, you can't control where the light's coming from always. You can't always have the perfect background, but the light is where the light is, and to learn the lesson of what that light's doing, you've got to stand in this particular spot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if some other elements suck in the shot, because that's not the point of what we're doing. We're doing the lesson of look how this light interacts on this person's face, not all the other elements which you can do elsewhere. But this is one of those days where everything came together, the subject, the light and the background in every shoot we did was perfect.
Nice.
Complete fluke. I mean, sorry, it was fabulous skill on my part, I must say. So, and what about yourself? Have you been doing any photography?
I have not. I've now almost 2 weeks into my new job.
How's that going?
Oh, mate, frantic. A lot to learn because I'm doing completely different stuff to what I've done for the last 30 years, you know, so there's a bit of a learning curve. The hardware and software is different to what I've used before, so there's a bit of a learning curve there. But I'm confident I'm really going to enjoy it once I get rolling with it. And I do feel like I'm getting better every day with it and just learning.
Do they
strokes.
Keep you on long enough?
Yeah.
Enough time.
Yeah.
We were told this guy was good. He's got no idea what he's doing. Let's just boot him.
They've... They did say, you know, that I would be on a 3-month probationary period, but I'm extremely confident that they won't be tossing me out after 3 months. But yeah, so no, it's going to be good.
Let's mark the date, folks.
It'll be pretty much the end of December because I started 30th of September. So
okay, folks. So that's just keep a little eye on Bruce's Facebook post. It's a nice Christmas present for you.
I'm now recording my second audio book.
Yeah, what's the subject?
The one I'm doing at the I don't even know if I'm allowed to discuss it.
What genre? Let's put it that way.
This one is a fictionalized version of real events which happened in Australia in the 1800s.
So Ned Kelly book.
Not quite, but you're on the right path. So,
And what was the first one you did? Is that easier for you to talk about?
The first one I did was an author who actually lives here on the Central Coast, who has written a book that was part autobiography and part motivational for women who want to go into business. You know, the author is a female, and she read the book herself. Nice. So that was my first audiobook, which was last week. And, so now I'm on to my second book. So,
you should make a suggestion that you read adult novels. Someone reads adult novels with sound effects.
The business that I'm now employed by does a lot of audiobooks, but to this point in time has not done any audio dramas. And that's essentially the difference. An audio book is simply, you know, one or maybe two people reading all of the book and changing their voice accordingly for different, characters. Yeah. Where an audio drama tends to employ an entire cast where it's a different person for each character in the book, and you have music and sound effects and all that sort of stuff. So who knows? I mean, somewhere down the track, maybe, you know, one of the publishers
I was thinking porn. I was thinking adult. When I said adult books, I meant porn. Didn't you imagine the music? I don't listen to porn because that's obviously not the music.
Of course.
Who listens to porn? That's not many. But you think about it, 50 Shades of Grey is an example. Now, obviously, it was a popular book.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they do an audiobook? I have no idea.
I'm sure there's an audiobook. There's bound to be.
There has to be, wouldn't there?
Whether there's an audio drama or not, I don't know.
Audiobook with soundtrack. are you enjoying yourself?
I am.
So it's going to be refreshing to be learning new stuff.
Yeah, totally. So as a consequence, no, I have not picked up the camera pretty much since I got back from Sri Lanka.
But now that you've got a wage again, you'll be able to buy the new Sony A9 II.
No, not interested.
No.
Have you actually read about the A9 II?
Something about it was only an incremental change from the A9 or some little...
Basically, for those that aren't following, Sony have announced the A9 Mark II, and it is essentially the A9 with, as you say, just a couple of incremental, you know, new things that have been added. And it is a very obvious move on Sony's part that this is the camera they want professional sports shooters to buy, and they've released it in time so that the Sony faithful can take it to the Olympics in Japan.
If it's such a small change, shouldn't they just call it A9 1.5 something?
Quite possibly.
You know, because you're going to save the full, going up an extra number for a serious change.
Yeah. Like I read the specs on it, and the post that I read said, you know, there is going to be a very small market for this camera.
Yeah.
You know, it is only, you know, professional working sports photographers are really the only people who will go and buy this camera because
$8,000 or something as well.
Exactly.
Some exorbitantly huge price. Yeah.
So,
not you is what you're saying.
Not me. No. Do you know what? I've not regretted buying the A7 III one bit. I love it.
Yeah. But and you're saying this electronic viewfinder is a good thing.
Mate. I was skeptical. But I felt like they'd had a few iterations of it before I took the plunge. So it wasn't like I was getting in on the ground level. And I, you know, like everyone else, I'd heard all of the skeptical remarks about, you know, electronic viewfinders, you know, from those early iterations. But no, I absolutely love it. I would not go back to a mirrorless camera now if you paid me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just this week talking to our mate Mike Holman.
Oh, yeah.
I must say. And because he's a Nikon ambassador, Nikon for you Americans.
Yeah.
Nikon ambassador in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And he's been shooting with the Z6s and Z7s. He said he'd never go back. He loves them.
Yep.
He still shoots like his 850s and stuff for high-end pro jobs. So he's loving it too. He reckons the viewfinder's just fabulous, the electronic viewfinder.
Yeah. It takes a little bit of getting used to at first, when you very first come from a mirrorless system. There's a little bit of adaptation there. But honestly, you know, after, I don't know, I'd reckon after a month I was used to it, and you know, and that's on my shooting schedule, which is not particularly, you know, prolific.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody like you would be, you know, okay with it after 2 days, I reckon, if you were out shooting with it all the time.
So, well, I'm going to go test a Sony in a week or two, a couple of weeks' time.
Which one?
I don't know.
Probably the R4.
I don't know. Maybe the problem is with those super high megapixel ones.
Yeah, that's the R4.
Yeah, the tiniest of movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got no sharpness. Yeah. So I don't know if I'm up for such a super duper one.
Yep.
But I just thought of something. I did do another shoot this last week.
Oh, okay.
I had a family 21st to go to, my niece's 21st birthday.
Right.
And I was going to be at my sister's house.
Okay.
The lunchtime thing. And my mother was going to be there seeing her new granddaughter for the first time.
Oh.
Not. Yeah, so I get the call just as 5 minutes before I leave the house. Can you bring your camera, take some family photos?
Of course.
Family events are bad enough without that as well. Yeah. Sure. So I just popped on the new Tamron 35 1.4 that I've been shooting with just like the day earlier for Tamron USA. And I thought, well, I'm going to try and force myself to use 35 a bit more.
Right.
The typical thing is if you don't like using something, it means you don't know how to do it properly. So, do it more.
Mm-hmm.
So I took no other lenses but that. Yeah, wow. I went up there, shot some beautiful shots. I got to say, they were lovely, lovely shots. Yeah, of the dog. I must also, just before I go on to that, I must admit this is a non-sarcasm free episode.
Right.
Okay. Just in case anyone was
hoping unawares, for a continuation,
or even unawares to where we are so far in the episode.
Right.
So I'm shooting stuff of my mum, you know, with the little baby. The baby's 3 weeks old, so just tiny. No, my mum's got dementia, and she was having a really bad day, so she wasn't really there. But everyone else was there to see it, so it was kind of nice to get those photos and stuff like that. But I found I took my NAR box with me, and I found an entire new feature on the NAR box, or benefit at the very least, that I didn't know existed.
Right.
Here's the thing. When you have to go to a family event and you're asked to take bloody photos, once you've done the bloody photos, you can sit and download all the photos onto the NAR box and then edit on your phone and not have to talk to anyone else in the family. So you can sit there and edit and be sending people their photos as they're there, which means you don't have to, I'll send them to you in a couple of days and you forget and then you feel bad or whatever.
Yeah.
You can do it there on the spot with the side benefit of not having to talk to people. One of the best family events I've been to in years.
Excellent.
Oh, so there's another shoot and another little NAR box adventure. I'm loving the NAR box. I've got to tell you, speaking of NAR box.
I never would have guessed.
If anyone wants to get one, they just got released last week to the general public. All the Kickstarter and the Indiegogos are all finished now. If you go to the website and type in Lavender 10, you get some form of discount. I'm not sure how much.
Excellent.
Did I mention sarcasm? it could be 10%.
Excellent.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Lavender 10, what I was going to do at the beginning of the episode, interrupted me when you were introducing yourself and you let me talk over you. I completely interrupted everything. That we should do like a viewer warning ahead. Viewer warning, sarcasm ahead.
Right.
So maybe in the video, when you put the video, I'll just put that as like an opening scene.
When I'm putting the video up?
On the podcast. aren't you filming my laptop camera? Isn't this a video podcast?
Yes, mate. Or 400 episodes.
I mean, don't talk about being brushing my hair and doing everything all this time for nothing.
No.
What? I've got the green screen and everything. You serious?
Yeah.
It was a video podcast.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I'm not watching it anymore.
Did you enjoy the last 400 episodes?
Of what?
Yeah.
I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah, excellent. we've waffled, we've delayed, we've put off, we've procrastinated, we've demurred ourselves to the point where we can't talk of anything else because we've run out of stuff to say.
Right.
We should look at our paltry amount of stuff we've got to talk about this week.
Okay.
Yeah, and by poultry, I don't mean chickens.
No.
For those who don't understand the accent.
Okay, off you go.
What? Did you see, you see all these bloody, these posts are like, I've tested my iPhone 11 versus 100 megapixel digital camera. That was one I saw this week. Against the Fuji 100 megapixel GFX versus the iPhone 11.
Right.
I saw some absolute moron tested his iPhone 11 against the Hubble Space Telescope. Astrophotos.
Was that you?
What?
Was it you?
Actually, it might have been conventional. No, it was. Forget everything I just said. What a fabulous concept. Funnily enough, because the new Google Pixel 4 or whatever, it's got astrophoto mode.
Right.
So it can do like Hubble space. A few people mentioned looking at my photo of the night sky that my blacks were much blacker than the Hubble space. And it didn't have all that stuff distracting you.
No.
In it. Yeah, there was no stars or anything to distract you from the beautifulness of the black.
Yeah.
And someone did ask if the Hubble Space Telescope has slow-mo video, like my iPhone does.
Right.
And that's a fair point. I don't think it does, but I told them I'd go up tonight and check when it's dark.
Excellent.
But, that was another – I mean, I did a little iPhone comparison as well, a photo taken with the left hand, the right hand, and with both hands.
Right.
And somebody picked all three of them, which I thought was pretty impressive. And I went location scouting this week too for a shoot.
Yeah.
And then because I emailed this place and said, can you tell me how much your photography costs to photograph there for a day? No reply.
Wow. So,
I want to go out there and have a check it out and see if it's going to be good enough. Popped out to this place, had a look around, still no reply.
Wow.
Next day. So I phoned them. They ring the events people. Oh, there's no one there.
Wow.
I said, well, since here's my details. So they actually finally emailed me that afternoon, $2,000 for an afternoon.
What?
$2,000 for a day.
Tell them they're dreaming.
So I reclined, and so I fell over. That's somewhat exy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of might take them out of my little budget.
Yeah.
Lovely place, lots of photo opportunities, but my goodness. Yeah. Crazy bad.
Maybe it was a case of we really don't want a bunch of photographers here, so we'll just something.
It's just for me. It's just for me shooting for a job.
Oh, right.
Yeah, not for a work. I used to run workshops at this place years ago, but it became a nightmare to work with because they
a place that begins with M.
Yeah, it's the one.
Yeah, right.
And it ends in Onselvat.
Subtlety, your strong suit. Okay.
Now, speaking of Nikon mirrorless cameras, did you see they just released a crop sensor mirrorless, the Z50, today, outfit, which I thought was fabulous. You can now put bloody great big lenses on an even smaller body.
Yeah, right.
Because it wasn't bad enough you had to put these big lenses on this small. Now, this one's even smaller.
So DX format in Nikon, that's APS-C, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
But, of course, people are going to put the adapters and put these whopping great big lenses on the 7200 2.8s on this matchbox. Yeah, you're basically just going to be holding a lens with a sensor stuck on the back of it, effectively. I don't know why people aren't doing that.
Yeah.
You have a lens mount, right, like a body cap, like a lens, a rear lens cap. That's just a sensor, right? And you could, and your phone is the screen.
Right.
So you aim your lens and go, shoot, at a hundredth of a second, 200 ISO, 2.8.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So it's just the – because who needs a camera body?
Yeah.
They're getting so small anyway.
Yeah.
You might as well just get rid of them. Just stick the sensor on the back and tell Siri what you want to do. to remake this photo look better than what I'm doing?
Yes.
Stuff like that, you know. Guess all this AI intelligence for these software should be able to do all that stuff for
Siri,
you.
Siri, scan Instagram and find me a photo that looks like this place.
There was an app or a little device you put up with a camera, and it had all this bank of millions of photographs.
Oh, okay.
And it would look at the seed and give you recommendations for what sort of settings to use.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing. Yeah. Siri, make this boring scene look really good. Yeah. If the AI intelligence is good enough, it'll be able to replace the skies.
Yep.
It'll be able to replace the foreground,
yeah,
the mid-ground, and the people you're shooting.
Yeah.
You're going to shoot one of those weddings with this really ugly couple? You know? It just replaces everything. Wow, Johnny, I didn't know you went to Scotland for your wedding.
This looks like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, who's that woman you're married? Damn.
Got to say, the body on this camera is super duper thin. I can't imagine that would be overly comfortable to hold on to.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine putting these great big lenses on the front of this basically a matchbox.
Yeah, right.
But, if you're putting small lenses, this is what I've always liked about the Olympus system. Is the cameras are small and the lenses are small.
Yeah.
You know, the sensor's
small. So is the sensor.
but this is an APS-C. It's not that much different, you know. But, yeah, you're not having to put on this overbalanced, great, big, whopping thing, you know. And, again, I challenge my good mate Cam Blake, who the landscape photographer for many, many years, shot only the Olympus. And remarkable stuff.
Yeah,
wonderful photographer. He's moved to a Fuji GFX these days, but he's remarkable. And you'd never know that. Oh, gee, that was done with a Micro Four Thirds.
Well, it's the same with Joe Edelman. He's now shooting Olympus and loving it.
What would he know? Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So he does great stuff. I mean, depending on what your outputs, for.
Yeah.
What's your desire to do with the photos, unless you're printing bloody great big stuff.
But don't go there. I mean, he just had one of his images selected to be placed on a billboard outside of the city
Billboards are easy. You need like a 3-megapixel camera for a billboard.
I know.
Because you're 400 feet away from it. Yeah. That's why they can do these billboards done with iPhones all the time because you're not sitting on top of it. But that's neither here nor there. Where the problem lies is if you do like an 11x14 11x14 inches, because people can hold that in the hand. And, of course, if they can hold it in the hand, they pull it up by their eyes.
Right.
Yeah. They hold it 6 feet away on a wall and look at it. They pull it to 3 inches away from their face and go, oh, look, that's not so sharp there. Look at that. Therein lies the problem.
Well, the people that do that are in the minority. I don't think that's how most people are going to view the work. I think that's a small subset of
if it's printed 8x10 or 11, anything you put in your hand, human instinct will be to pull it up to their face. Rather than, because you don't see anyone holding, getting photos and they're going arm's length, unless they've got really bad eyes. You don't see them stretching their arms out to look at an 8x10.
Okay.
Have you ever seen anyone do that?
I can't remember the last time I saw somebody looking at a physical photograph.
I'll tell you, I can't imagine people getting it and sticking it in their arms out as far as they can possibly go. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nikon.
Yeah.
Did you see them announce a lovely new lens for that camera?
And for all
their cameras, I might add.
I saw it about 15 seconds ago.
The 58mm 0.95 aperture. That's a small looking lens on the big camera. No, the other way, it's a big looking lens. It's going to be bloody enormous. It's going to weigh 8 times more than that camera. Yeah, at the very least. It won't be front heavy at all. Did I mention this was not a no sarcasm free episode? It was definitely not a sarcasm free. I've got to say, but here's the thing about it. Yeah, let's release a 0.95 lens because they're so easy to get everything in focus that you want, eyes and stuff. let's just trick it up a bit. Let's make it all manual focus.
Is it manual focus?
Manual focus.
Oh, what?
So let's see. We've got this lovely eye focus technology.
Oh, yoy, yoy.
And a camera and a lens that you're not going to be able to focus on the eyes. I mean, if you've got the skills to focus at 0.95,
yeah.
on someone's eyes consistently,
yeah,
without breathing,
yeah,
without them moving a gnat's whisker, you know, good on you. It's not going to be easy.
That is not going to be easy to do.
And I said, yeah, I could only imagine the size it would have to be, therefore, to make it autofocus.
Right.
Yeah, is part of their reasoning or justification for it. But it'd be, I'm sure it's good for landscapes.
Yeah. Yeah. And yours for the meager sum of $8,000.
US.
US.
It's only like 11,000 Australian, which is, you know, fairly. Now, I did see someone doing some photos with the new Sony A7 IV, whatever it is.
No, R2.
R2? D2?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was doing 250 megapixel photos.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show, if you look at the photos, that doesn't matter how many megapixels you got. If the photos suck, the photos are still going to suck.
Yes.
If you take boring portraits,
yeah,
you can up your megapixel count all you want. They're still going to look the same.
That's right.
It's like when I bought that really expensive saucepan.
Right.
My food tastes exactly the same, but it was bigger megapixels.
Right.
So the portraits are okay, but I just don't understand. Once again, it's the same as these people comparing your iPhone to a Hasselblad or whatever. You know, it's like, that's
not. But I don't understand. Like, why do you need a 250 megapixel portrait?
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Like, what are you going to do with that? Like,
but even the post said, we can't upload the full size photos because it would take too long.
Exactly.
Which I love. Now, I've got a warning for everybody, all Mac users.
Yeah.
I saw this on a post on Facebook. There's a thing about Lightroom and the new Mac OS system. It's a don't thing, not a do thing.
Yes.
So don't do it, whatever it is they were talking about.
Yeah, there's an update.
Is that a good enough warning?
Yeah, sort of. There's an update coming for the Apple iOS operating system, and I should have made a note of that because I did see it a couple of days ago.
It's already out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Right. It's out, and there's problems, so
They were basically saying for photographers, disable auto updates. So if you haven't been stung by Sunday when this podcast comes out, you might still have time to do something about it, but chances are you've probably all been stung by now. So
yeah. Now here's Apple unveiled a new extend your holiday feature this week.
Okay.
There's a photographer in Vietnam who's stuck in Vietnam because his Apple MacBook Pro has a lithium battery that's on the banned list for flying with.
So he can't fly home.
So it's an extend your holiday program.
Wow.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm sure he could leave his MacBook behind because you can't take the batteries out.
Yeah,
so he's obviously unwilling. He's unwilling to leave his battery, his laptop behind,
which is understandable.
I think you know, like anyone, they should be marketing it as an extend your holiday.
Yeah, right.
Just we don't want any negative press about Apple. Yeah, their share value may go under $1 trillion or something if that happens. So extend your holiday program. So if you do happen to travel a bit and you have a MacBook, you should look into that and see what batteries there are. Because obviously he's been allowed to leave England. England didn't care.
Right.
But Vietnam, going back out the other way, they checked it. And
wow.
Imagine that, you're at the airport and...
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. And my last thing on my list is I was reading this, I glanced at an article on why your Instagram's not growing.
Right.
And I pulled out one salient paragraph that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
So there's over 100 million photos uploaded to Instagram every day.
100 million?
Million a day, okay.
Jeez.
But there's 500 million people use Instagram daily.
Right.
And here's the kicker, is only 4.2 million photos get likes.
Right.
Out of 100 million going up, only 4.2 million get any likes. So 0.84% of daily posts get interactions.
Wow.
That's why your Instagram's not growing.
Wow.
So less than 1% get any traction whatsoever.
Wow.
It's simply saturation, 100 million posts on whatever subject you're putting out there. So basically, they're basically saying if you're starting out now and want to get an Instagram following, there's only one way to do it. That's to pay.
Right.
have no traction otherwise, and you'll get no, yeah, unless you're doing selfies of your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, which in my case wouldn't get many followers. But, you know, I'm not speaking for you, Bruce. No. Yeah, who knows, you know. But, yeah, that's unless you're doing that kind of stuff, yeah, booty butt stuff, yeah, you're probably not going to get traction.
Wow. That's was kind of interesting.
Yeah. 100 million a day. That's like over 100, that's probably over 1,000 an hour.
Probably significantly more than that.
I think?
Yeah, it's probably more like 1,000 a minute.
Oh. Wow. Or even more, who knows? That's a lot. No, though,
I haven't done the maths, but yeah, that's crazy. Wow.
Should we?
Do the maths?
Yeah.
You really want me
Should
to?
Should you?
I'm not going to try and do it in my head because that would just be too hard and it would take me too long. So I'll just punch it into my calculator. 100, 000, 000. And we want to go divided by 24.
24 and divided by 60.
For the okay, so it's 4,166,666 images per hour. And if we divide that...
That's more than 1,000 a minute, isn't it?
We divide that by 60, it is 69,444 images per minute.
Divide that by 60.
So that's nearly 70,000 per minute. Divided by 60 is 1,157 images per second.
And divided that by 100.
Why?
Just do it.
We'll just move the decimal point, 11.5... Images.
Okay, now divide that by 1,000.
That's okay, so we're at milliseconds now. Now we're dividing by 1,000. So 0.01.
Yeah, so if you'd been on the first day of Instagram when it first launched and no one knew it was like a beta and no one knew about it,
yeah,
that's what you could have had.
What?
That many photos per minute.
What?
First,
when
Instagram was launched as a beta and no one knew about it and no one was uploading anything, that's what you had to compete against.
Oh, I get it.
So if you put three photos up in a minute, boom, you've just blown the whole system up. Every single user would have seen your photos.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, exponentially now, not as much chance.
No.
Sort of
and I've got to say,
I know you do.
The problem with Instagram is
it's square?
There's so much. Well, yes, there's that as well. But there's so much stuff there that you become desensitized. Like if you follow a bunch of tags and you follow a bunch of different accounts, you just see so much good stuff. You become desensitized to stuff that you would. You know, if you shot it yourself, you'd be going, oh, man, I'm so happy with that. But you just don't even give it a second look because the amount of stuff that's there and the amount of good stuff that's there just, like I said, it desensitizes you to.
But it also demoralizes you.
Yeah, that too.
Just, I mean, you look at the stuff. I mean, everything you want to do has been done better already.
Yeah, exactly.
So just don't bother.
That's right.
Yeah, just look at photos rather than going out taking photos.
There you go, the new motto for the podcast.
There you
are. Don't even bother.
Don't even bother.
Shutters Inc.
What?
Don't even bother.
Don't even bother. there's just no point.
That's right.
There you are, Shutters Inc. There's just no point. That's probably a more apt of our podcast ever. Well, do we have a slogan? I know we haven't got music or intro.
The world's best loved photography podcast. Don't ask. Don't even ask.
Yeah, but hang on.
No.
I think there's just no point. I think we put it to a reader vote. How many readers do we have?
Readers?
Oh, sorry, viewers.
Probably none.
How many viewers do we have?
None of those either.
Well, there we go. Then I've got one vote and you've got one vote. It's a tie. Yeah? So we have to call Shutters Inc. The world's most loved photography podcast where there is no point. That's a compromise.
Okay.
that actually is probably even more apt because we both enjoy it. You know?
That's right.
And there is no point.
That's right.
Beautiful. So do we have anything else to talk about?
We've got a couple of things here. So Reg Vardy posted on Facebook a fortnight ago, or a week and a half ago, and he said, although it was initially disconcerting, I enjoyed the first ever 99% less sarcasm program. Perhaps Glyn could do one every leap year just to shake the listeners up a bit.
As you can tell, Reg, we've resumed normal programming.
Yep.
Yeah. And but yeah, like, I enjoyed, I've got to say, I did enjoy that podcast.
Where, so did I.
Took it quite seriously.
David Osler said, I am seriously blown away by the quality of the iPhone 11 Pro video. Just thought I'd share. So good to know.
I haven't tried. Have you shot any video? I don't think I have.
Right.
Oh. I actually don't. Isn't that bizarre?
That's your task.
Maybe. No, I don't think I've actually done one solitary bit of video.
Yeah, right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there you go. Adam sent us a couple of stories. The first one from Petapixel. This is the world's largest optical lens. It's 5 feet wide and took 5 years to make. And this, as the heading says, it's a 5 foot wide front element of an optical lens that's going to be used for a super camera that's going to do astrophotography. So a new competitor to your iPhone 11, mate.
Well, I've just sent you another link for you, dude, just then.
Okay.
Researchers have developed the smallest lens in the world.
Fantastic. So
there you go. We've nailed both ends of the spectrum. The biggest and the smallest.
Nice. Nice. And the other one from Adam, we're not going to say the Westcott FJ400 and the Jinbei HD400 are the same strobe, but they sure look similar.
Who's we, sucker?
Yeah, well, that would be DIYphotography.net. But basically, they're comparing the two aforementioned strobes. And then later in the article, they also look at the Orlit Rove Light RT400 and some other light. I'll have to scroll. Oh, and the Godox. So basically, there's about four or five lights that could almost have come off the same production line when you look at them. They are so similar in design and very similar in specs as well. But I don't know that that's really so...
Well, it's very. How do you think get things so cheap?
Exactly.
You know? But I've got to say though, the Westcott is completely different light. You can tell looking at the pictures.
Right.
It's got a black like cup on the front, and the other one doesn't.
Right. Totally different.
Yeah, and I reckon the LED is slightly less exposed in their photo than the other one.
Right. Did we mention this was not a sarcasm-free episode?
Groundbreaking stuff there. Oh no, actually, well, no. Look at the tightening nozzle knob down the bottom. One's got like 5 points. One's only got two.
Right.
We're talking completely different products here. Oh my goodness!
Exactly.
I don't know where these people get these ideas from. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Everyone wants to slam people for trying to do something new and different.
That's it. Even if they're copying everybody else.
Even if it's all come from the same place. Yep.
And yeah, that's me.
But ours is red.
Yes.
Well, I've got to say, this has been my favourite podcast of the day.
Excellent. Good to hear. Good to hear. So what's on for the weekend? Right. Okay. Fair enough.
No more than that. Probably no more than that, really. Right. That'd be probably the full, yeah.
Are you a Motorhead? Are you watching Bathurst? No.
My dear old mum used to love watching Bathurst. For people who don't know, it's a car race.
Yep.
They drive for 1,000 kilometres or about 600 odd miles
in
a day. My mum used to love watching it, waiting for the crashes.
Yes.
That's the reason she watched it. Yeah. Any sports you watch all year long was just that, just watch the crashes.
That's it.
It's like why people only watch the first 5 minutes of a Formula One race. It's the only time anything interesting happens.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I've got some stuff to do, some basic family stuff, and I'm still working on this my next big project. I've got to do some location scouting. There's a place that just sent through a quote, which is only $100 an hour,
right?
and you can use as many hours as needed, but just pay for what you use.
Oh, well, that's a bit more sensible.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. So if you have to tell them in advance, I want half a day, and you finish in an hour and a half. So that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, nice.
And then I found this great creative space in Melbourne that is like a Parisian bedroom, like from 200 years ago.
Nice.
Beautiful furniture and chairs and mirrors on the wall and everything else. And you can hire it, again, by the half day.
Wow.
So that looked pretty spectacular,
yeah.
I would say. So it's pretty cool. It's $300 for a half day to shoot in this place.
Yeah, right.
There's some dollars worth of furniture being put into this place too. Yep. So I can understand that investment. So that's another place I want to go check out next week. So
yeah, cool.
I've got a few things to look at and see what's coming together.
Nice.
And then see if my people I'm going to do this job for have actually got any money.
Right. to pay for a location. Yeah,
cool. All fun and games.
Excellent.
Oh, this just in. Mm-hmm. This guy came to some of my workshops. Cleaned up first place in 2/2 categories, entered last month at the local Echuca Moama Photography Club. Couldn't be happy with these shots turned out. Only achieved with the help from Glyn Lavender. Look at that.
Nice. Nice work.
It's pleasing. He's, yeah. He drove down a couple of hours to come to the workshop, and I did a one-on-one day with him. That's right.
Oh, right.
Lovely guy. Yeah, so awesome. Now he's winning awards.
That's excellent.
I must be good at this stuff.
Excellent, mate. Will you have a good week?
I shall. And I must apologise for last week to everybody for not being here because it was school holidays. I just lost track of days.
Yeah, and admittedly, I was very late in actually sending you a text. I normally try and text you on the morning of the night we record to say, hey, are we still good for tonight?
Yeah, and so I'm not good at the best of times knowing what day it is. Yeah.
And I think I texted you about 15 minutes before and said, are we on for tonight?
And I go, oh, and I was out.
Yes.
So, yeah. Just, I should have done, we should try this phone Skype one day.
Oh, that would be challenging.
Yeah. Only for you audio freaks.
Yeah.
Well, the sound's not very good.
That's yeah. It. All right,
well, you have a lovely week.
Will
do. And talk to you next week.
All right, mate. Bye.
Bye, all.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.